Tonight we will continue on some in the process of what took place with Israel as we look this morning in the book of Isaiah chapter number 5. And we'll be in three or four different places in Isaiah tonight. I want us to read to begin with in Isaiah chapter number chapter number 8 and verse 19 through 22. We find when a people rejects the work of the Lord, the end result of that is never good. Israel had rejected what the Lord had given them, and now we see some of the end results of that in their lives and how that the Lord brought about much trouble to them. First few chapters of Isaiah, you'll find the word woe over and over again. And we'll look at those six woes tonight in chapter 5, where we left off this morning, along with some other things. But the Lord brings about judgment upon people that reject Him, and those that maybe had opportunity to know Him and follow after Him and then would not do that. Rebellious spirits, rebellious hearts, and God brings about judgment, and He pronounces certain judgment or pronounces certain woes upon them that came to pass and brought about much damage to the people of Israel. And we mentioned this morning that those things in the Old Testament we also can apply in the New Testament physically, spiritually, individually to you and I, that if we'll not follow after the call of God, then there is judgment awaits us. I'm glad as a Christian we do not have the judgment of hell, but we have the judgment of the Lord. Many times the chastisement that the Lord brings upon us to get us into the right thinking and get us into line with His desire for us. But tonight in Isaiah chapter number 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 19 and read down through the rest of the chapter, verse number 22. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Here we find the sobering words of the Lord through Isaiah that there really is no hope for what has taken place in the land of Israel. And he uses a couple of phrases here that I draw attention to tonight. He talks about, in these verses, he talks about those that have familiar spirits and those that are wizards. These are folks that would be diving into the underworld, the dark world, and the wizards and those people that would, we talk about seances and bringing up from the dead different people. And so the Lord tells them how useless that is because we find that He says they just peep and they mutter. They look into strange places, they mutter, and totally they are in the darkness that is around them. But in this morning, as we were looking into to chapter number 5 in the vineyard, we made notice that there are six woes that come upon Israel because of their rejection of the will of God, of the message that God had given them, the vineyard that He had planted, and would not be taking care of that. And really, this is a continuation of what has already been done in some chapters before In chapter number 3, we have, in verse number 9, we have a woe. In chapter number 11, we have a woe to the wicked. But in this chapter, there are six of them brought together real close closeness in wording. And these woes are upon the people of Israel because of what they have not done in connection to the things of the Lord. And we just look at them real quickly and move on. But remember now, this morning the Lord said, I've given you a vineyard, I've given you the best vineyard. And when it was supposed to bring forth grapes, it did not. And he says, then I will open up the floodgates. And he said, I'll let them overrun you, I'll let them overtake you. The clouds will not produce water, and your vineyard will be totally destroyed. He says in verse number 8, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, and they may be placed along in the midst of the earth. In mine ears saith the Lord of hosts, of the truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Here we find the Lord pronounces a woe upon them for house to house being joined together, and this is nothing more than the covetousness of people that they wanted to gain everything of their own and they wanted everything for themselves. And in our world today, we certainly find many people that are full of a coveting spirit that wants everything that everybody else has. Then in verse number 11 through 17, we'll not read these verses, but in these verses we find that the Lord pronounces a woe on those that go after strong drink. And I put the word here, carousing around. And they are drinking, they're dining, and they're disinterested in the things of the Lord. Verse number 13 says, because of that, they have been dispersed. They're going to be scattered. In verse number 14, he says, because of this, there's death that is in the land. In verse number 15, he says that the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled, and they have been demoted. They're not as strong as they think they are. They're not as good as they would proclaim they are. Verse number 17, it says there is desolation. And so on and on it goes, and those things under that one of the strong drink bring about a defeat to the people of Israel. Then in verse number 18 and verse number 19, there is contempt. They're not afraid of God. They have no fear of the Lord. They have no fear of the things of the Lord. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. And then there is confusion in verse number 20. He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We use that verse a number of times because we are living in a society. We're living amongst people that are calling good things wicked, and wicked things are accepted as good. And that is a result of rejection of what really truth is. We have the truth, we have the Word of God, but when that is rejected, then there is confusion on every hand, and we do not know what is right and what is wrong. And I believe there's a lot of people living in our country tonight. I believe there's a lot of people living in the world. They don't know they don't know the difference between right and wrong. They don't know what's truth, they don't know what is untruth. Some people, we've made the statement that some people can't even tell the truth. They don't even recognize the truth when it's right there with them. And so we find that that is a result of turning our backs up on the Lord. And then we have in verse number 21, conceit. In verse 22 through 24, we have crime. That is because of that main purpose of rejecting the things of the Lord. But these wizards that we look at and we read about tonight in chapter number 8, they give us a view of what type of people were living in that world of Isaiah. And Isaiah has a pretty a pretty difficult time. Isaiah has a pretty hard time understanding and knowing and realizing what's going on, and has a hard time facing all those problems. But the world tonight is full of those that are muttering in the dark, they're peeping in the corners, and they have no hope. The world needs preaching of the Word of God. The world needs the clear message from the Word of the Lord. And the Bible doesn't suffer when we preach it. Men suffer when we do not preach that. And so Isaiah is giving a capsule view of these Bible deniers that accept certain things as truth that are not truth. In verse number 20 here, in chapter number 8, it says, "They speak not according to this word. It is because there is no light in them." A person that does not speak truth does not have light, does not have discernment, does not have the judgment of the Lord. They are in darkness about the past, they are in darkness about the present, and certainly in darkness about what is coming yet in the future. Can you imagine? Do you understand? And we realize that there are multitudes of people today that are in the dark about how everything got started. It's amazing how many shows and how many programs and how many things are always coming out to try to figure out where this all began, when the truth is right here before us, that in the beginning God created. Now, we may be old-fashioned, we may be out of step with this world, but that does not change the truth of the beginning of all things was God. The continuance of all things is God, and He will culminate that just as He has said that He would do. Many people are enlightened in this world, but they're enlightened on the wrong, with wrong ideas and with nothing but evil. They are muttering in the dark, they're peeping in the dark, and they have no light. And so therefore they don't have any idea about past things. That I believe that's why some folks are so desirous of doing away with any kind of history. They're not interested in what used to be, because that is archaic. That is things that we do not need in order to survive. And so therefore we are in darkness about the present. Most people today are living in a world that they wonder what in the world is going to happen tomorrow. What's around the corner when this book tells us? This book gives us the instruction, and they're dark in darkness, and they blame their troubles on everything but themselves. They bring their troubles, and they reject the only cure, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. They are in darkness about present-day living. And then all you have to do is talk to a few people, read a few books, listen to a few shows, and you'll find out that they are very much in darkness about the future. The world does not know what is going to take place, but I'm glad we do. The world doesn't understand that the Lord has everything in His hands and everything in control, and that it will culminate just like He has given to us in the Scripture. So they're in darkness. They think they're enlightened. We're living in the age of enlightenment. We're living in the age of progressive understanding, and that knowledge is increasing and knowledge is going forward. But yet, much of that knowledge is according to darkness. Much of the knowledge is according to ungodliness. And when we have our mindset and we have our worldview a certain way, then everything revolves around what we feel. Everything revolves around what we believe. And so when someone tells you, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you believe in God, it does matter what we believe. It does matter where we stand and where we find ourselves in the Scripture. And that's like the old saying is, doesn't matter where you go to church, just need to go to church. I got news for you. It matters where you go to church. Because there are some churches you'll not hear how to go to heaven. Even though they're a church, even though they're a religious institution, and they'll open a Bible and they'll go through their religious rituals, and they have all the things in order, but they'll not tell you anything about salvation and regeneration, and they'll not tell you anything about what needs to be done to the life of an individual without God. And so it does matter where you go to church. It's important that folks go where truth is being proclaimed. And somebody says, well, who are you to tell what truth is? It's not my business to tell what truth is. It's my business and your business as a believer to proclaim what we have, which is truth. And so this Word of God gives us what truth is. And so the people of Israel, they were in darkness, and they had traded darkness for a light for darkness. They had traded that which they knew was true, and now they've gone to their wizards, and they've gone to those that were familiar spirits, and they've done away with the will of God and the work of God and the Word of God, and now they're just simply peeping and muttering in the dark. A whole lot of like people we know. If we should think tonight just for a little while, we could probably call off some family names of people that we know that have really just turned their back upon the things of the Lord, and they're just barely existing. They're just barely going from one day to the next because they're just in darkness. The Scripture tells us every person that's lost is in darkness, and darkness has overtaken them. We're born in sin. We're born in darkness, and therefore we need the light of the gospel, and we need the cure of salvation to bring us to a understanding of who the Lord is. So these folks of Israel, they had truth. And Isaiah, he was trying to give them truth and trying to offer them truth. And later on, you'll say, Isaiah said, woe is me. I saw the Lord. And he recognized some things about God and changed his message and changed his life, and certainly had given over to the things that were true and right. And so they had changed the light of the message of God, and they had turned their back upon that, and they now have gone and delved into the dark areas and the things where God tells us we are not to go, and they're accepting that as truth. That's a long way from where God desired for His people to be. Then in verse number 21 here, it says, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead in hunger and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God, and looking upward. Instead of nourishment now, they have starvation. Instead of light, they have darkness. Instead of nourishment, they have starvation. Physically, they cannot continue on. Intellectually, they may have ability to do certain things, and we may have that ability, but it will not satisfy the soul of mankind. Doesn't matter how much we know, we cannot figure out how to get to God. In the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, there was a group of people that said, we're going to build a tower and we're going to reach God. We're going to bring it into the very presence of the Lord. We're going to go to our God. And the Lord, of course, confused their language. And somebody says, how strong is man? How capable is man to accomplish what he wants to do? Well, God says way back there in the book of Genesis, God says, if I don't confuse their language, there will be nothing withheld from them. There'll be nothing they cannot accomplish. There's nothing they cannot do. And so we find here that man has always had his own way, and the way of intellectual ability is not satisfying to the soul. It will not bring about salvation to anyone. So Israel is in a terrible place, and they have gone the wrong direction, and now God has pronounced the woes upon them, and we see what begins to take place in the life and the livelihood of the nation of Israel. They no longer have light, they have darkness. They no longer have nourishment to their lives, to their souls spiritually, so they are Certainly they are been demented, and they have turned back, and they're going the wrong way, and they have delusion for hope. Their hope has been destroyed. Their hope is gone. Verse 22 says here, they look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. So they look to the earth. They look to themselves, and the nation is in confusion. Nature is in convulsions, and men's in amazement of what takes place before them. And so these all are a result of what takes place when we reject the things of God. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter number 9. In Isaiah chapter number 9, we find the judgment of the Lord upon them. This all comes because they have rejected the Lord. This all comes because they are going their own way, and they have rejected righteousness and spirituality, and they have turned themselves to darkness and ungodliness. In Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 8, we find that Israel has been devoured. They are literally overtaken with ungodliness. It says, "The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it had lighted upon Israel." Now those are the two names that God gives to His people. Jacob and Israel. And God used that man Jacob, renamed him Israel. And He says here, "And all the people shall know, even Ephraim, and the inhabitants of Samaria shall say in the pride of the stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones, and sycamores were cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Razan against him, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before, the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Israel is devoured. Maybe I ought to underline that, because that shows the end result. Israel now has been devoured by foreign people. He uses the word here, the man's name, Razan. He was the king of Syria. And God used nation after nation after nation to bring Israel down. They were devoured, and they had the word of the Lord. Verse number 9 says, verse number 8, "The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and hath lighted upon Israel." They had the word, but they rejected that word, and that word was given that all the people should know. Now they say the bricks are fallen, that the sycamores are gone, and so we're going to take care of it of ourselves. And we find here that pride is dismayed, and it is displayed to them in their heart. Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria says in pride, the scripture says, we will have bricks that are fallen down, but we're going to rebuild with hewn stones. We're going to do a better job than the generation before. And what they are looking at is only physical things. Now you and I tonight, we may can do a better job than the generation before. I don't know. We have a difficult time even building a bridge. We have hard time building what is needed. And you look back generation before, we have some of the greatest accomplishments in this country that ever has been. But those things are getting old, and they're beginning to wear down. And so we maybe can do something a little better that way. But I'll tell you what, the darkness that has overtaken our country has destroyed what we can do spiritually for the things in the things of the Lord. Pride came up before Israel, and they said, "All the bricks are fallen, but we'll hew out some stones." the sycamores are cut down, but we'll replace them or we'll change them into cedars. In the pride of Israel, they boast of removing the efforts of the past and taking care of the present for themselves and in that particular time. But the Lord gives the punishment here. He says, the Lord shall set up adversaries. You see, God sets up adversaries. God is a blessing Lord, but He's also a Lord that will bring about judgment and chastisement upon His people. The Lord tells us in the New Testament, He says, I chasten those whom I love. If He loves us, then sometimes we have to have the rod of correction to bring us back into step and back into line. And we always want to think about the good things of the Lord and the good blessings of the Lord, but we don't desire, and I don't know of anybody that desires the chastisement of God, but because He loves us, He brings that to us in order to bring us back to Him. And so the Lord says, I'll set up adversaries. I'll bring the king of Assyria against you. I'll bring the Philistines against you, and you'll be nothing, and you'll go down to nothing. And it did happen to Israel. And we know the history. We know the story. So their pride is displayed. They've been privileged to have the word and been privileged to have the prophets. But now the punishment here is described, and he's very passionate in that, for it says his anger is not turned away. There comes a time when the Lord says enough is enough. There comes a time when God says that's all that really can be done. And so He brings judgment upon judgment to them to bring them back to the place of repentance. The history of the Old Testament and the history of Israel of the Old Testament is a cycle that they go through continually. God blesses them. His abundant blessings is upon them. And they become very proudful and very prideful in their life. And they turn away from the God that has given them their blessings. And they begin to think they can do it themselves. And so in that thinking, God brings about some type of judgment. And you'll find that the Lord is, He will bring enemies against them to bring them down. And when they're defeated, they'll once again look up to the Lord and they'll repent of their sin and they'll turn from that and then they'll turn back to God. You know what God does when we do that? He will bless us. And He blessed Israel. And when He blessed Israel again, they did the same thing. They become prideful in their ways. And the cycle was a continual cycle all the way through the Old Testament. And here we are, as we read in the book of Isaiah, one of those cycles. Israel has been defiant against the Lord. And now He tells us, what we read a while ago, Israel is devoured. They're just overtaken. They're very defiant in the way that they live. Look in verse number 13. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel a head and tail, branch and rush in one day. And the ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people curse them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. That's the second time we found that His hand is stretched out still. Even through the judgment of the Lord, God's hand is still stretched that they might come back unto Him. But Israel now has been devoured, and they're defiant, and they're not going to turn to the Lord. They're not going to turn to the one that is smiting them. They're not going to give any recognition at all to the Lord. I hear people say all the time, well, these things that take place in our country, they're just coincidences and catastrophic things that would happen anyway. Could it be that we have turned our back upon the judgment of the Lord? It's very probable that has taken place. And they reject and defiance and say, oh, that's not God. I've had religious people, religious leaders, I've had preachers tell me that they didn't believe all these catastrophes that take place in our country. They don't believe, they're not going to believe that that's the judgment of the Lord. Then what is it? The Lord has promised that He'll bring judgment when a people turn from God. And America is no better and no different and certainly no greater than Israel, and certainly is not the beloved of God as Israel was. And if God did that to them, God would do that to you and I. And so we find here Israel has defied the Lord. They are rejecting. They turn not unto Him that smiteth them. They're not going to cry out unto the Lord. The chastening did not correct them. The chastening did not make any difference in their attitude, in their ways. And the retribution comes, and it comes in severity. The Bible says here that He cuts off. He says that He comes with speed, and one day it happens. And it comes with a scornful judgment, the prophet that teacheth lies. This afternoon we look at the Word of God and we try to our best, and you try your best as you study on your own, in your own personal devotion. We try to come up with truth. But there are those out there that are bent on doing lies and saying lies. All you got to do, and I believe this with all my heart, all you have to do is turn on the TV or the radio or the internet, and you're going to hear some lies. Some of them, I believe, are so far out there that they're lies and they know they're lying. But they're going to propagate their message. We understand that the Scripture is truth, and therefore we are not to be defiant to the Lord. We're to be obedient unto Him. The Bible says, for all this His anger is not turned away. There's a rage in God's anger. He will bring about judgment, and in that judgment He still will bring about an offering to return unto Him. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 18 through 21, we find that Israel is defiled. Israel's in a bad, bad way. They are devoured, and they are being destroyed. They're defiant, and they are defiled. Wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour. Verse 18, for wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and the thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets and the forests, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall a snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, Ephraim, Manasseh, and they are, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this is His anger not turned away. Notice there, but His hand is stretched out still. Here we find the wickedness and the defilement that comes to the land of Israel. When man has disassociated himself from the morality of the Word of God, then we ought not be shocked of how immoral people can become. We ought not to be shocked of how horrific things that we hear of what takes place in a country. Here, these folks, they had The Bible says here, the wickedness burneth as fire, it shall devour. They're going to be destroyed. It's devouring them. And they, through the wrath of the Lord, the Bible says here, the land is darkened. And not only is the land darkened, but the people are starving. And that little phrase there, no man shall spare his brother. And in verse number 20, every man the flesh of his own arm. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. That is a direct reference to eating the flesh of their own children. So how low can individuals go? How low can society go? Just as low as you can imagine when we turn our back against God. We say, oh, how horrible that is. And it is horrible. But you know, it's not any more horrible than what we see every day in our country. Man devours and destroys, tears away little children from their mother. It's called an abortion. I read an article the other day. Some woman said she had had 8 abortions, getting ready to have the 9th, and she didn't regret any of them. How low can society go? How demented. We look and say, how can a person feel that way? You know what the difference is? Why we feel that way about their feelings is because we know truth. We have had truth given to us. We accept that. But those that have rejected truth, before long, their thinking doesn't even go along with anything that we think of as righteous or holy or even moral. May God help us to realize if Israel can be destroyed, if Israel can be defiled, if Israel was so defiant that God says, I'm going to turn your light to darkness. You're going to be hungry even though you eat. You're not going to be sad. If God would do that to Israel, what will God do to another country that maybe even has more light on the good things of the Lord than even Israel had? We have the completed Word of God. We have the story from Genesis to Revelation. What starts in Genesis finishes up in Revelation. It's a complete story. I don't believe we ought to... Really, I don't think we ought to think about Old Testament, New Testament. We ought to think about the Bible. It started in Genesis. And whatever started in Genesis, you can find it. It will be completed in Revelation. Whatever is defiled in Genesis will be rectified and rectified in the book of Revelation. And so we have a story, a beginning and an ending. And all that's in between is a part of God's Word to help us not to be a rejecting people, not to be a people that would turn our back upon the Lord, but that we would come to Him and recognize that when struggles and problems come to us, it's not just a coincidence. It's not just a happening of Mother Nature. That's the most ungodly term there ever was, Mother Nature. We don't have a mother nature, we have a God. And He rules in the affairs of mankind, and He rules nature. And for us to realize that He is controlling it all, and when I get out of step and He brings me back and shakes my attention, and I guarantee you the Lord can shake your attention. He can get a hold of your attention when nobody else can. And when we come to that point, then we must realize I either accept what He tells me or I reject it. If I reject it, then there's more difficulties coming. But thank God for those 3 or 4 times there in that passage, His hand is still outstretched. His hand is still there for us to come unto Him and turn our lives back unto the things of the Lord. Old Testament stories, Old Testament things, but have a very prevalent understanding in our day and time of where we are. Before we awake in the morning, the Lord may have come. Praise the Lord if He did. If not, then we live our life, live in our world, and tell people that Jesus saves. May God bless us and help us to do that. Let's stand.